they do some comments or recommendations, but the recommendations are political. They're not research and technical. So obviously the chairpersons take overall responsibility, but ultimately it's the committee that must decide, or at least the majority. So this is the informal process of both committees. When the chair of SCOF comes in, he'll take over because he takes overall responsibility. Remember that there are two separate votes required here. One from the CCOF and one from the SCOF. The two committees vote separately. The report, please note, where's Esther? Esther here? Oh, Poppy's here. Okay, you'll have to make changes to the report for us, right? So instead of select committee, standing committee becomes select committee. Right? You will do that, and that's the report. So it's the only change we make. In the, okay, you've done it already. Good. Okay, and you've got a copy of that circulating too. Oh, I see. I've got the select committee report here. It's not the standing committee. It makes not a difference. I mean, we just changed the wording, as Advocate Jenkins has pointed out to us we need to do. Welcome all. On behalf of the chair of SCOF, I convey his apologies. Now, usually what we do, colleagues, is we ask you if you've got any comments before recommendations, and then we move to the main part. Now, what we seek to do, as you know, for many years now, is to ask the people who make presentations to summarize in half a page or so what they want us to focus on in the report. So it represents a summary they've done rather than a summary we've done, which they might be not happy with. So some of them cooperate and others don't. But can I tell the staff that in the very day that you invite people, you must say to them or respond to them immediately and say, can you write a half a page summary? What you would like emphasized, maximum a page. Can the two secretaries or three secretaries please note? Can you do that? We've been saying this to you, and it'll happen in October. A letter to all of them on the day you advertise who have sought to respond, either in writing or orally, that you would like them to summarize between a page and a maximum, I mean a half a page and a maximum a page. So what we've got there is, in most cases it seems to me, what they themselves want. Okay, but having said that, are there any issues people want to raise from page 1 to the page that comes on recommend? I think it's 28 in the current version. From page 1 to 28, any comments? No. Okay. Yeah, Nicole?
Chair, I think just one or two things. On page 3 of the report, if you could just end the sentence where it says the minister said that wastage and corruption had to be confronted.
Can you
use
which paragraph?
Okay, it's on page 3, 2.5, sorry.
Let's go to 2.5. Right, so the minister said
that the wastage and corruption had to be confronted.
Right.
Yeah.
And we must just stop there.
Yes.
What was justification for leaving that out? Because he did say that, remember, we are not interfering what he said. We're not saying we agree with it. We're summarizing what he said.
Okay.
So he did highlight the issue of overpriced goods during procurement. This has been a big issue for Parliament and for the ANC and for the presidency. Litigation against government by medical legal claims. You know, this is a big issue, comrade. You know, from the Eastern Cape. You know what people are doing? They're knocking on doors, as he said. And they ask people, have you been in a hospital recently?
Yes.
Arun Mutswaledi was raising this for the last 5-6 years. It's horrific, the amounts. And then against the police, it's true the police can be abusive, but it's also true that lawyers go and tell them, for the slightest, you know, let's say somebody pushes you around as a police person, we're taking you to court. So I think unless the majority agree otherwise, that we should leave this, because we're not saying we agree. As it happens, we do agree with everything. Is that okay?
It's okay, Chair.
Yeah. Yes, Bunny.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say we don't agree with everything, but this is a true reflection of what transpired in the participation of the different entities that submitted presentations to us. But we don't agree with what they said necessarily. Specifically, I mean, what Kusatu said, I can't agree with that because that's their view.
Yes, I said as it happens, right? My words were carefully chosen, and the context of we was referring to the ANC, referring to the government, and referring to us as a party. That's what it referred to in the context. So there's nothing controversial here. And this is,
No, Chair, I'm not contesting the essence of the message. It's very clear. But I'm just contesting the use of the term head on. It's more colloquial.
Of the wording, not the con. Oh, I see. Okay, that can be done. Let's see, where is it? The minister says they wasted. That's more or less what he said, but we can change it. Had to be confronted directly.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, fine. Okay, we're confronted with urgency. Okay, with urgency is better. So that's with urgency. So, Poppy, you, and where's Antonia? No staff is here. Does anybody know why the staff don't turn up when we're finalizing a report? Where's Esther? Oh, you're taking responsibility. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I was looking for Esther earlier because of the... Right, so you will ensure the change. Good? Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Yes? You got it.
All right. Anything else in the first phase? Good. The summary of
I think an hour from 10 o'clock, so we hopefully will finish before then. Now, can we turn to page 39, colleagues, because this is the real meat, so to speak, of the matter. Now, on 7.1, any comments? This is largely recording the figures, so unless the figures are wrong, am I right, my friend? You know, unless the figures are wrong, there isn't an issue. 7.2, obviously we're all concerned about the economic outlook, and these are figures. That was not low enough, Dennis. We will speak about this at the meeting. 7.3. 7.3. I mean, this is pretty banal. It's an observation that nobody's going to disagree with unless I see things here. Even Fanny will agree with 7.3. 7.4. Who's going to disagree with this? Right, 7.5. Actually, there's a very DA line
7, 4,
here.
7.4,
okay. 7.4, you want to say something? Yes, madam?
Yes. I'm just checking whether we are talking to the issue of the widening of the deficit due to the lower than forecasted revenue collection. Yes.
You read it out slowly so people can...
Okay. Budget deficit may also widen because of lower than...
Yeah, and it's a concern of ours. Good point, yeah.
Collection, yes.
Yeah, that's helpful. Now, can you repeat it, please?
Okay. It's 7.4, yes. That the budget deficit may also widen because of the lower than forecasted revenue collection.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think it should be there. That's very helpful. Yeah. Can we slide it in? Yeah, good. Yes, Dion?
Thank you, Chairperson. We were on 7.5.
Right.
Okay. In essence, it's not a bad paragraph. However, I mean, we obviously welcome the relief to, or the minor relief of personal income tax to some members of society. That's a good thing. We, however, don't think... Well, we certainly don't welcome the tax proposals. We think that they didn't go far enough. So, for example, we really think that there should have been more relief for hard-pressed consumers because we don't believe that government is effectively using the taxpayers' money. That's the one thing. The other thing is that we also believe there should be some tax incentives for people who have to do things that government should do but isn't, especially, for example, providing electricity. So we really believe that there should be tax relief if people, members of society, taxpayers, are funding their own solar panels, etc., to make sure that their lights don't go off. But in essence, the sentiment we do agree is a good one. Thank you.
Before, and we've got a legal advice in that regard, there's nothing stopping any party from being accommodated in a report. We've discussed this, right? Advocate Jenkins, we're not going to cover that ground unless the rules have changed. Right, so here it is. Can you write two or three lines in that regard? We do encourage members, as you know, I don't know how the secretaries do it now, but to comment in writing beforehand. So we just attach it to the distributed thing. So can the DA and other members, obviously we're not going to fight, about, you know, no lengthy things. And normally I used to edit it, but now Joe does it. And you know, we will handle that. So in future, there's nothing wrong. That's your party's view. And half of it I agree with, actually, as an individual. I don't know what the NZ study group thinks, but it's not something so far apart from what we would say anyway. Yes, it seems reasonable that if people are providing power, that some tax incentive, we're desperate for power and so on. I don't know what our formal position is, colleagues and comrades, but it's a reasonable thing. And you represent another party and you have a right to be heard. You were elected here, and so it is. So, you know, what we will put is at the bottom, the DA draws attention to paragraph 7.5 and beliefs. You know, while it welcomes, don't they while it welcomes? Yeah, it welcomes the paragraph, but right? How about that? Okay. Can we have it? You can send it to the secretary, we'll pass it on to the two chairs. Can we have it? I mean, really, you can, so easy to do. Can we have it next hour? Okay, good. Well, that's fine. So the amendments here, Zakela, you will send it to Comrade Joe and me. And no problem. 7.6? Anything there, colleagues? 7.7? Yes? Saraj, you have no voting rights,
sure, but I'll allow it. I just, in terms of advice, the issue of other taxes as well, PIT, CIT and others, an investigation into the use of those should be included. And I'm referring here to the public hearings as well, after the VAT hearings. Those issues came up, and there were actually groups that came with alternative proposals and, to some extent, modeling. And I think at that time, National Treasury was asked to sort of bring their numbers. So just to remind you. So that is not only an investigation of VAT and increasing VAT, but looking at maybe other taxes as well.
Oh, we agree.
And later they talk about digital,
okay.
And that should be included.
Okay. Is anybody disagreeing with that? No. All right. So in that case, can you write two or three lines, insert it in tracking, send it to the two, well, he'll send it to secretaries, they'll refer it to us. But in general, I don't think anybody's got a difficulty with that. It's fairly consistent to some of the discussion. Okay, shall we move on then to 7.9? You see, here, Comrade Chair, you know what? Treasury is coming with this proposal of now an Inspector General. Remember, Dicoletti, we raised these things last time. But it's very piecemeal, the restructuring of SARS. Parliament has a right to know. So I think we should have a joint sitting, Comrade Chair, in the next quarter, where they must come to us and tell us what it is they're proposing overall, instead of coming piecemeal. You see, the committee itself, Comrade Chair, we had proposed a committee, because an Inspector General can also be, like, let's say, difficult if it's one person and there's too much of power and all that. So Parliament needs to have a say on these matters. You know, after all, who decides? The executive makes proposals. In certain instances, they can, Comrade Chair, make changes. Parliament can't do anything about it, but the executive has certain rights. Okay? But in other things like restructuring of SARS is crucial, because if we don't get it right, then our revenue-raising ability can be impeded. So I think, Comrade Chair, here you might want to add, Sakele, you know, just say something about a joint committee meeting. So, you know, we both do it together. And instead of us calling them separately on that side and so on. If that's okay, 7.10. Yeah, sure.
Is it possible that we can also add the briefing on the entire tax system?
Slide that into. What she's saying is we should have a briefing on the entire tax system. That's very good. Comrade Chair, you don't have to ask me for permission. You just come in when you want. We are co-chairs.
Thanks, Chairperson, and apology for being late. I was somewhere else. I think on issue of Inspector General, you are right. I don't think for now we can adopt what Treasury is proposing. There have been two commissions and a committee. It's the Nugent Commission, there was the Davis, I think it was a committee, and the Cuts Commission. They proposed various measures in regard to playing oversight on SARS. And which one is Treasury recommending? And the current regime is that there is a tax ombudsman. What becomes the role of Inspector General vis-à-vis the tax ombudsman. So there should be clarity. And remember, SARS derived its existence from the constitution. If you bring other institutions above them, people will ask question, what is this thing all about? So we have to be careful. And as Comrade Nokoro proposes, that they should come here and we deal with this matter in detail and understand, because SARS has got its own mandate as the constitution. So if somebody comes to play oversight role on top of us who are also parliament, remember we are playing oversight role on SARS and there is an ombudsman, are we not going to over-regulate SARS? So I think those are the questions that the Treasury will have to explain when they come here. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah, Chairperson, what I said, I agree with the Chairperson. Can we make it simpler? Rather than saying we support the proposal, we just say we note the proposal. The however implies we have reservations, then we bring in your point, the caller's point about, you know, we need an overview of the whole tax system, where are you going? You see, the structure will flow from that party. So I think, Zakele, if you can get her, you know, you can send it to him, if you can just send it to him and his team, then you can slide that in. Okay, so I think what the Chair is saying, what you're saying, and what we said earlier, all chime. Funny?
Chair, you actually covered me. I just wanted to say that we must rather note it than support it. So
agreed.
I'm coming.
All right. Now, 7:10. Look, this is consistent with our preoccupation. I know what you might be saying, Jan, but go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. We believe that there should be more tax incentives to encourage business to operate. So yes, it's important that those larger businesses must be prevented from abusing any tax system, which we don't believe they do to an extensive degree. But we also feel that we need to incentivize entrepreneurship and smaller businesses. Now, there hasn't been any of that in the budget, so I'll just add that to my little paragraph at the end.
I disagree with you on the point, you know that, right? Because there are at least 50 billion a year disappearing in the global financial integrity. It's not the ANC government or the ANC saying it. There are international bodies saying it. It's horrific. Mining economies particularly are extremely vulnerable to illicit financial flows, not just our economy. So we'll disagree on that, but certainly you are entitled to have your view. 7:11. No, we're just merely observing the process that on the tax bill. 7:12. That's pretty straightforward. It's not party political, ideological. 7:13. On this, we're all concerned about jobs. So I think that's straightforward. But we're also clear that government alone can't deliver. We need the support of private sector, union, civil society, and the public out there. 7:14. Yep.
Is it feasible that we can add the increase in the support of industrial policies and industrialization?
Yeah, okay, we can do that. Remember, the chairperson also said we should be slightly cautious about intruding too much in a budget report on what in this case is DTI. But it's fine, because we look at the overall economy, although there's an economic development portfolio committee as well. Yes, yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Well, 7:14 really goes to the crux of the whole budgeting process, and it sets out what government is spending money on. Now, of course, we welcome that there are services that need to be provided. However, one of the difficulties we have is the structure of the budget, is that we know that government is inefficient and that it can be much leaner in terms of its spending if it were more efficient and there wasn't so much leakage and corruption. So that's the one thing we would certainly want to see that happening. Also, the spending of government is too high. We know this. We welcome the fact that the public sector wage bill will be trimmed, although we have to see it happening because it gets talked about but never happens. But anyway, we hope that that does actually happen. Also, if you look at the bottom line, is that the deficit is big and growing, and it is a problem. The reason for that is because we have to borrow money to fund the deficit. We know now, we look at the environment, there are all sorts of things happening out there, for example, the coronavirus, we don't know what the impact's going to be. The RAND has really taken a knock because it's an emerging currency, we know this. So we have to pay more rand to pay off the debt when it's foreign debt. So it is really problematic. I mean, it is a structural issue. We need to fix it over time. But we certainly don't believe that the budget is as efficient as it should be. I'll also add that to my note. Thanks, Jim.
To party politicize it, as I know it, and you were obviously on the other side in COP, but your colleagues, well, there aren't any left here. But okay, so here we are. This committee has repeatedly, Comrade Chair, said, from the point of view of the majority party, which are minority parties of the group, which is that government needs to save. Article 80, millions of times we've said it. Can't we just say the committee as a whole, Comrade Chair, if you're agreeable in the majority, reiterate its concern that savings would be, we can find the wording, so basically we all agree. You see, the trade unions themselves, our allies, say, you want to reduce the public sector wage bill. Well, why don't you start with getting back all the money that you as government have lost through corruption and inefficiencies. The Auditor General comes here and gives us horrific figures every year. So this is not a party political thing. We may disagree on why it happens and what exactly the answers are, but that we've said it in our report repeatedly, so why don't we simply say something, Zakhele, like we please did. The committee reiterates its concern that National Treasury needs to do more in cooperation with other departments and public entities to reduce wastage, inefficiency, and the levels of corruption. It would put government in a better stead to negotiate around the wage bill if this were to happen. Full stop, something like that. Okay? But the point about it is, when it comes to the public sector wage bill itself, that is handled by the Appropriations Committee. And we should steer clear, as we said last week, Friday, of getting involved. We can do so in our personal capacities, right? But as a committee, we can only urge government to negotiate efficiently with the unions, and the unions, you know, it's a give and take thing. But I don't think we should take position. I know the DA's position. As far as we are concerned, as a committee, we must leave it to the public sector bargaining processes, the Minister of Public Service and Administration mainly, and the Minister of Finance. We don't take sides. So we would urge on that one that, you know, you can say it, but I mean, really, it's not necessary. Let the Appropriations Committee do its job. I would imagine, Comrade Chair, it's hard for us as a committee to enter the bargaining process. And the Minister has explained, Deputy Minister the other day, didn't he, that there's no headcount reduction, there's no reduction of the wage bill, there's a reduction in the increase of the wage bill, and the target will be to save so much, 160 billion, or is it 261 over 3 years? Yes, Dennis?
Thank you, Chair. We must be careful we don't reinvent the wheel. So if we look at our report from last time around, value for money was one of the key themes that went through that report. And there's a paragraph straight out of that report that talks about value for money. And Treasury's response, so they gave us a thin book with a thick book, and they responded to the issues. And one of their things, their response was, yes, 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 we're going to ensure that procurement gives us value for money. And I think that we need to now say that ties in with this point, which I was actually going to leave it to the end because I didn't see it specifically openly stated. But I believe we need to state that value for money now needs to be at the center of our procurement. And not only of our procurement, but also value for money in terms of our staffing as well. We don't want to be unfair, and COSATU must understand that there's no intention of anyone involved to be exploitative of the workers. But the fact is we need to extract value for the money that's being spent. We're spending the people's money. We must make sure that they're getting value for that. So in terms of procurement, in terms of our wage bill, et cetera, we must always go back to that core issue of, are we getting value for the people's money?
Chair, like you said, I think there's no fundamental difference or differences between us. We all agree. And there's a commitment from Treasury, that these issues that are not within our line of operation, things that needs to be resolved with their stakeholders as the PSCBC and involving other departments like DPSA, those issues will be dealt with there. So I don't think we are far from each other.
Thanks,
Honorable Chair. Yeah, just to add, I think on the summary that you have given, that we need to put perhaps two or three sentences at the end of this paragraph, just to show an appreciation that we understand how did we arrive at this point, and we don't want to see this continue happening. Just to the issue of avoiding wastage, to get value for money, just maybe two or three sentences that addresses that, so that we don't appear just as people who say, okay, this is how we are, these are the allocation, okay, it's fine, everything is well and good. But just to say, no, we understand how to arrive here, but let's try and avoid finding ourselves at this position by avoiding wastage and all those things. Maybe two or three sentences.
No, we're all on the same page here, so that's not really party political. Just one point. I think the new point here is from Jennifer Ryder, which is value for money in terms of procurement. Now, we've got a procurement bill coming. It's about to be tabled to Parliament, or already tabled. Advocate Jenkins, where's that bill? Is it tabled already? It's going through the... I think it's gazetted, last week or the week before. So it's going to be a community. We'll deal with it there, and we can have a paragraph on that. So let's leave it at that. On the issue of productivity and all, that falls under the bargaining and so on. I think, you know, that we've said before, so we can have a generic point. Let's not make it... Nobody disagrees, okay? And the thing also is... Dickeletti is the right, Comrade Chair. And you made the same point in a different way, from a different angle. You see, we better Treasury. It's not fair, because many of the issues, Treasury will agree 100% with us, except they don't have the power to tell other departments. Guys, secondly, it's a point we keep making, the older chairs in this Parliament, right, that the problem is partly us as committees. You see, we don't have the power, Comrade Joe and me, we don't have the power to tell other committees, please exercise your oversight role more effectively. They'll say, who do you think you are, Eunice? Right, let's start with me, I'm twice his age. Right? They'll say, hey, Baba, you should be in an old age home, right? What are you telling us what to do? We're the new generation. Right, so... The chairperson is out of order. So let's come back to this. Guys, we do not have the power to impose on other. But what we can say is a generic statement, maybe, it can't be under recommendations, that ourselves we commit to more effective and efficient oversight, in particular to ensure value for money. You know the words, Sakela, we used, blah, blah, blah. And we urge our fellow portfolio committees in both the NA and NCOP to... Well, it sounds so like superior. You find the right wording to what? You can't say, like, who are we to instruct them? But you find the right words, okay? Like, you're very wordsmith, right? So, you know, we'll be grateful for the cooperation of other committees in this regard. Something like that. So we don't sound superior to them, because we ain't. Okay. The next point, Comrade Chair.
Yeah, to emphasize what you have raised, I think we should not lose sight of the role of Parliament. The role of Parliament is to play oversight over executive. It's not to initiate policies and certain decisions and impose them on the executive. It's to make sure that what the executive has planned and presented before us gets implemented. And if there are issues, we raise those issues very sharply and say, why are you not doing this? The NDP says the following in terms of target. But if you look at the evaluation of the NDP, it looks like we are not going to achieve those goals. So I think we should make sure that, Chairperson, we don't cross the line as a oversight body and begin to tell the executive that thou shall do the following year. And so that line is blurred But I'm suggesting that let's always remember who we are and what our actual role is. Thanks.
Yeah, the division of powers also means that of us, that the executive has certain rights. You can see it as a former minister next to me. But I'm not
seeing it.
Let the agency see. No, colleagues, look. I think the best way of putting what the chair is saying is to fulfill our oversight responsibilities as required in terms of the constitution and legislation. Because there's various pieces of legislation that said the committees must do this and so on. So that covers that we're not going beyond. It's like we get upset when the judiciary like has overreach, right? And similarly, Parliament too, while we can do much more, can't take over the job of the executive. I think, Comrade Chair, you're right. And in fact, let me just tell you, one of the most well-known speakers of Parliament actually addressed committee chairs on this, Prinny Jhunjhunwala, in, I think, 99 or 2000. She said, look, guys, just get something clear. We want you to be more efficient and effective in your oversight. But you can't tell the minister, you know what, we want so-and-so to be the DG and so on, because some committees are doing that. You can't do that. There's a former MEC, right? You can see how people represent their former positions, right? There's an MEC agreeing, yeah. Okay. 7.14 is that. We're running out of time, colleagues, because the CCOF will kick you people out, CCOF, because 11 o'clock we've got the land bank here. So we're kicking you out. You are going to be renting after 11:01. Okay, we'll give you one extra minute. The committee notes the assurances from Treasury. That's straightforward, right? On the wage bill, they said that, and then this matter is dealt with by the Appropriations Committee, right? Okay, then 7:16. This the DA would like. Welcomes the proposed structure of reducing the cost of doing business, but they don't think it'll happen, right? But of course, there it is. 7:17. Procurement bill, right? Here we can slide in Mr. Dennis Ryder's point, if you like. The 7:18, the committee is concerned that the country's debt is not projected. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know if you agree or disagree. 7:19, supply-side interventions, right? I think that's correct. 7:20, yeah, this is simply saying we welcome. Yes, Dion.
Thanks, Chair. With on the Sovereign Wealth Fund, obviously, that's not necessarily a bad idea, but of course the devil is in the detail. So whatever happens to that money. So if we have the money, because, I mean, money is very tight, but if we manage to set up a sovereign wealth fund, and it was used effectively, it can do good things, as we've seen in other countries. So we'd have to wait and see. But the idea of a state-owned commercial bank fills us with horror, because we have absolutely zero confidence that a state-owned commercial bank is actually going to work well. Firstly, this will be another state-owned enterprise. It will be nothing but a bottomless pit into which money is thrown and cheap loans are made from. That is our view. So we would vigorously oppose the state-owned commercial bank. But obviously, I'll put that in my notes as well, and that's something we'll fight over in the future when it starts to come to fruition. But really, the idea is just horrific beyond imagination. Thank you, Jay.
I can't prescribe to you because we don't have the power. You know, we've discussed this, that in terms of the rules of Parliament, Rachel, opposition parties have a right to, you know, a few lines where they disagree. I mean, that's democracy. We've discussed this thing here, you know, so they were giving them, like, you know, DA half a page. But can I suggest, I can't prescribe to you your words, Dion, but if you're going to say things like, it's a bottomless pit, and it's, you know, blah, blah, you can make your point without saying that, right? So if you say it like that, now if you were in my shoes, right, Dion, then I'd say amen. But if you put it in a sedate, Colin Eglin type, gentlemanly, erudite way, maybe then some of us will look at it and say, guys, let's be realistic, right? Yeah. So that you could do it the way you want. Your previous leader and this, everything he said, to be quite frank, we never paid a single attention, right? So, you know, it's fine. You know, I would like to speak like you do about certain things, but I have to be careful. Somebody has said I'm funny, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Could you just have it noted that the Vision Front Plus doesn't support the state-owned commercial bank?
Right.
In the notes. Thank you.
We'll just add that. And you're not vigorously opposed. You will die in the ditch about it. You will bring the country to its standstill. It'll be worse than coronavirus if we have this. Funny. We don't want to even put it just like you want it. Okay. Yes,
Chairperson, I think have represented us well from this NCOP, and I think the whip must also say, because it looks like everybody is trying to put their position as to where do they stand with this. And from ourselves, we must also say it, we are in support of this.
Yeah.
And also remind members that when this report will be presented in both houses, they will still have an opportunity to vigorously oppose this during their declarations. Thank you.
What we could do, but then we couldn't strike a deal with your predecessors in this other committee that I used to serve in. We used to say the majority in the committee covers that, not every party agrees. But then the DA insisted it wanted its thing, so we just left it as the committee. But we can put them, it's true, we're not going to agree on a state-owned bank. But we should say, Zion, funny, we're being very temperate here. Okay, the EFF proposed this, but we also would have edged towards saying it. If the Reserve Bank, as it has said, is withdrawing from the African Bank, this is a thought that occurred to us some while back, it's not party political. The fact that Chivambo raised it doesn't mean we're going to reject it. I mean, if Fani raises something reasonable, which is very rare, of course, if he does...
I have to call you to order.
I'm teasing you. You understand? So, you know, we will agree with it, right? So we look forward to the day, party, but we will agree with it. So I withdraw that. Look, yeah, the point is, we're running out of time, and guess who's holding us up? Me. Okay, so here it is. You know what? This idea of the African Bank, Dion, it's a give and take, right? I always tell the DA, listen, guys, you can wage your fight with us, but at the end of the day, if we've got a position in our party, not government, the party guides us. This is a theory, government. No, our party supports a state-owned bank. You know that, right? NASDAQ. So, now that we're going that route, why don't you guys engage on our terrain and help us to make it, let's say, more temperate and so on. So you can fight us. But then, you know, you guys have got technical skills that some of us don't have, including the chairperson, right? You often have people in the financial field. And we've pleaded with some of you, and you've been very good behind the back of your leader at the time. And give us some ideas, which we've actually used, not admitting it, because, you know, you've got a part. So what I'm saying is, Dion, you've been in this field a long time. You have far more technical skills than I have, and with due respect to Koche, right? And you could help us as we, once you make all your noise, and you fight us till the end, and you go to the house, and, you know, all the bluster on both sides. But it will help to have a state-owned bank that is sensitive to the current perilous economic climate we're in. So do your fighting, but also help in the interest of the country. Never mind our differences. That's what I'm pleading for, but that's over to you and the chairperson in particular. Now, let's go on. And Dennis knows the style we have, and Mr. Alcom there, and the same applies to them. Right, so now we've got 721. This is a horrible word, Comrade Chair. The previous committee has for several years nudged government. We haven't nudged, we've been battering government. So can we drop the word nudged and say the previous has for several years urged government to deal effectively with base erosion, blah, 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 right? Okay, and then we repeat our request. Then 722 for the Interministerial Committee. Remember, here's the point, Comrade Chair, you are making. We cannot instruct the President to set up an Interministerial Committee. So we always say the committee recommends the President considers. We can only ask him to consider. We can't say recommends that he set up. You know that, right? You've been there. Okay, 722, this is straightforward. Where is the NDP? Where is the medium-term strategic framework? 723, yeah, this contingency reserve, we all agree. That's a matter that falls, strictly speaking, under appropriations, but because it deals with the overall fiscal balances, we're saying 5 million. 5 million, the minister's quite right, is too low. What if you have, like, the coronavirus now? It can be regarded as a disaster. A contingency reserve should come to our rescue. 5 million is not there. What if you have climate change issues? Right? So we agree with the minister. 724. Yeah, now this thing about cars, you know, I've been battling, I will do this, right, because this is our legacy story. I will now pursue it again with Mr. Konoff. And can you harass him too, man, this one? I mean, you see him more than I do. He's in the NA side. 725, yeah, we make the point that we need cooperation. 726, yeah, okay, the there's nothing there. All right, in that case, Comrade Chair, I hand over to you. With these amendments, can we have everything by 1 o'clock, the latest? The two chairs will look at the amendments so that we can put it on their ATC today, because you're voting tomorrow. I think we're voting the day after, in Thursday. Okay, so here it is, guys. What we're going to say, colleagues, is now we do the procedural thing, which is the NA Standing Committee will vote on this report, and then we, changing the wording, you'll give us our report, right, once they finish. Then we vote. So have you got a quorum, and have we got a quorum? But before you do, yes, Dennis?
Thanks, Jay. I'm not sure we've discussed what's here, but there's one thing that I just want to maybe highlight that is not included in this, and maybe ask if we can add a recommendation, please. The issue of the broadband sale, that's low-hanging fruit. That's been discussed in 10 consecutive budget speeches, that we're going to release the broadband for sale. I think we need to recommend, and I use the word urge just now, maybe we need to urge, maybe we need to vehemently urge, I'm not sure, maybe we need to die in a ditch, I don't know. But just to say, where there is potential for revenue collection within the existing proposals.
And that's more an appropriation issue again, but just say, no, it's a revenue issue. No, it falls under us, particularly. Sorry about that for once. That does fall under us. Now, that's a very good point. Here it is, we're not intervening in the positions of the telecommunications, what's it called, and digital technologies committee. We're doing it from a revenue point of view. Why don't we say, given the desperate need for revenue, the committee urges government and the ministry, or the department of, in particular, to ensure the sale of spectrum as soon as possible, or something like that. Okay? Fine. We're agreeing on that. Because it's a revenue-raising issue. Good? Is there anything else? No? Then we're done. Over to you then. Yeah. Sorry, yes, Njala?
I think maybe just a confirmation of to the... It's Wednesday, not Thursday, for the NCOP. According to the program.
Oh, both houses are voting on the same day. All right, that's helpful to know. Thank you. That means we can discuss this offline, yeah. I'll speak to the chief of... Okay, fine. We're done on our side as two committees. And then, Mr. Dion, yes, George?
Chairperson, I'm a little confused. Are we voting now on this report?
Yes.
Or have we done that yet? No.
Sorry?
Because I want to reserve my position.
Yeah, we'll always do
okay.
That. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Even the peasants in Mongolia know that. I mean, everybody knows that. They put it automatically, don't you? Right. So basically, right. The only difference, Dion, is that it doesn't bring the country to a standstill, but you can, yeah. Okay. So no one even notices it. Yeah.
What is interesting is that, and very appreciated by us, you contribute so much in developing this report. And then you reserve your right to take a decision on these ideas that you contributed on. But us being us, we understand you have a mandate. It's fine.
That means you are reserving your opinion even at the point you make. I mean, you make that point, and then you reserve it. So, I could well ask you in the house, excuse me, so how come you're reserving it when your points are there? Right? So it's a give and take. I raised this with your predecessor. I didn't tell him. He just tittered, he laughed. You know, he thought, actually, she's right. You know? Okay. So you want us to say, we reserve our rights on the report, but we reinforce our views on the only valuable part of this report, what we said. I'm teasing you, Dion, you don't have to reply. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think Honorable Jolly is reserving his view after SHA. You fought so much to have his views accommodated. You fought so much in this meeting on his behalf. So now he's negating you, now he's changing.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, coverage, we're done. Over to the chair. Then you will have a quorum. I think we got a quorum in charge. We've got a quorum, yeah. Okay, yeah, we have a quorum. Thank you.
And please, just don't vote. You're on this, our side, eh? You're not on that side. So.
Okay.
One more twice.
Having considered the report, now we'll put it on the vote if there has to be. But let me first get as to whether there's somebody who will move for the adoption of the report with amendments. Honorable Zane.
Thanks, Chair. I move the adoption of the report with the amendments. Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Zanana. She moves for the adoption with those amendments. Any second? Honorable Mkive.
My brother, which side are you on?
I do not think my Ilesa, I second the adoption of the report.
You second?
Vigorously so.
Anybody who vehemently oppose? Dr. George?
I don't vehemently oppose it. I reserve my position. Thank you.
We'll meet in the house. okay. The report has been adopted. The rest will be in the house where we'll table the reports, that it be debated, and the house is formally adopted. Back to you, Chairperson.
Yeah, firstly, before we part, I would like to move a motion of confidence in the Chairperson of SECOF, because he saved the committee exactly 6 minutes. I think it's a wonderful piece of work. 34 pages, and Njadu supports it. The motion, and secondly, that the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Finance came about 20 minutes late. Well, it's beyond his control, but the 20 minutes of his salary for the day is transferred to the chairperson of the Select Committee on Finance. Thank you. In my Bank of Syria account, or my Bank of Baghdad account. Thank you very much. In Russian rubles or Zimbabwean dollars or whatever. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Injad.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, I hereby support the report with all recommendations.
Which house are you in? It's all confusing. Which house are you in?
Adoption of the report, yes.
Yes, but it's very confusing to me. Which house are you in? You sure?
Yes, your house.
Okay, right. Is there a second? That's a
superior house.
Yeah, superior house. No, that's a good one. Superior house. Second? Who's seconding it? Oh, there's no seconder. Okay, we'll meet again tomorrow. Ah, particularly. Thank you. Okay, the report is adopted with the term Standing Committee change to Select Committee. I don't know why Linda is smiling. Can you give us a 5-minute explanation? Thank you, Comrade.
Before you move on, you managed to take up, I think, 3 of those 6 minutes that you saved us.
Out of order.